Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk fitness business with gym owners who are in the trenches, changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guest, owner of Patty Preston Fitness in Wakefield, Virginia, the woman herself, Patty Preston. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great. Pumped to have you on our little pre-recording chat. Got me all jacked up here. So let's jump into it. Your name is on it, so this is going to mean a lot to you. What's Patty Preston Fitness all about?
Yeah. So Patty Preston Fitness is just a gym. I think of it more as a community. So we are about 100 clients, mostly women, about 95% women. We coach functional fitness, mostly personal training groups, a little bit of open gym, and a little bit of remote coaching. That's pretty much what we are.
Awesome. All right. So we'll get more into what you're doing and dive into some of those topics, but I need to give the audience some background. So what's the history? You've been in business for about five-ish years now, depending on how we quantify it, but what's the backstory? How did you decide that you wanted to coach? How did that lead into owning a business with your name on it?
Yeah. So it started as a hobby. I was overweight. I was mentally and physically not feeling well. I live in a community in Wakefield that did not have another gym. There is another gym about 8 miles down the road. It had a lot of equipment, but no coaches, nobody in there. You know, I joined that gym, would walk on treadmill forever and get no results. So I actually mentored under another coach for about 6 months. For free and kind of develop my skills. I knew I had people skills. I didn't have the knowledge of the fitness as far as functionality and form and all of those kind of good things. After 6 months, I started paying or charging for clients. I moved into that other gym. My first Saturday coaching, one young lady showed up. She did not speak English. She didn't come back the next Saturday. Nobody showed up. I called my spouse at the time and was like crying because nobody showed up. And the next weekend, 13 ladies showed up. I'm in my fourth building, Patty Preston Fitness. I went from a 500 square foot room, carpeted room in my first gym in my friend's law office, to now a 2000 square foot building with a a playroom, a shower, AC, which is huge for us, and heat. It's one of those things that happened in life when I was growing up. I was a teen mom in high school. I started working in corporate America at 20. I had my kids really young. They were starting to not hang out with me. So it kind of started as not being healthy and empty nest syndrome. So I didn't even think it would turn into this or a business. Like, I didn't have a business plan. I didn't have investors. I had nobody telling me do this or do that. I have fallen and scratched my knees a couple of times in this gym, but I haven't broke my leg. So it's been definitely organic and not planned. It just happened.
Man, that's an awesome story. And I'm sure we could probably spend hours digging into all the side things, but scope of what we can do here, your growth over the years up to, you know, roughly around 100 clients. What's worked best for you? What's brought the most people through your doors? You're in a small town, you know, under 1,000 people. So, you know, if things go bad, they can go badly quick, but if they go well, you know, you can end up with a good client base. So what would you attribute that to being able to, you know, be where you are for clients?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me and Patty Preston Fitness is communication, relationship buildings. I think you can have one of the best coaches, best gyms out there, but if you don't treat your people well, eventually that's going to catch up to you. For me, one of the first things I did, and I didn't even realize this until afterwards, which happens a lot in my life. I do things and I'm like, oh, that was a great idea. I actually coached some gentlemen. I coached one gentleman that was in our local sheriff's department, and I coached him at a very reduced rate. I knew he was on the streets. I knew he was at 7-Eleven. I knew people would see him. You know, so I helped him get results, and he was kind of one of my billboards. And then once I had people having results and feeling better, and when people do things that feel good, you know, shopping at a store or a restaurant or something, they're going to tell other people. So it was really just about doing the right thing, treating people well, communicating with them and building relationships more than buying equipment, if that makes sense. So that was kind of, that's kind of how it started and was able to bring people in.
So it's the marketing plan, so to speak, was let's just care about people as immensely as possible, get them the best results that we can, and let that kind of spread organically through the town, through the way, you know, that small towns have a unique way of doing.
Yeah, because people didn't, I mean, when I started working out, they were like, oh, Patty's working out, Patty's coaching, what makes her a coach? You know, it took me 2 years of grinding and working hard, being the only coach. I didn't employ anybody for the first 2 years, 5 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., 4 or 5 days a week. It took 2 years to pay, you know, for people to say, oh, Patty has a gym and she actually knows what she's talking about. Because let's be honest, when you first do things, you got to kind of, I hate this term, but you fake it till you make it. It was a lot of faking, just making sure you didn't hurt anybody, right? And not that that would happen, but, you know, it takes time, unfortunately, time too.
All right, so you build this thing up. It's blood, sweat, and tears. It's grind. And then, you know, you're in business a couple of years officially, and then COVID hit. So where are your membership numbers and makeup now versus COVID? Like, you know, we have a lot of people that are like, I've recovered to my pre-COVID numbers, but it's a lot of different people. So how did COVID affect you in that way? And where do you stand now?
Yeah. So 3 weeks prior to the governor shutting us down, and I shut down a week before that, I've just moved into this 2,000 square foot building. I took on 34 new clients in 2 weeks. I mean, I was at the prime of my existence as Patty Preston Fitness. I mean, we were rolling. We did a fundraiser the weekend before COVID shut us down and raised $4,000. I mean, I was at the top, right? I mean, or I thought at the top. I was finally seeing the top of the hill, right? So I shut my doors with 140 clients. I have about 100 now. A little bit of different clients now, like you said, that I do have a different clientele. I'd say about 20% of the clients are different now than they were before. I shut down. I honestly, like most of us, didn't know what to do. I went to my mentor. I looked to see what other organizations were doing. The second day I closed out, I messaged all of my guys on social media because I have a Facebook site for my members and said, come get equipment. I literally gave away all my equipment. I didn't charge for the equipment. I just gave it away. And people were like, well, what did you give away? And I'm like, I don't know, everything I had. Looking back was like, yeah, you know, whatever. I would say probably about 70% of my clients still paid whatever their rates were, personal training, open gym. I didn't have remote back then. I got on Facebook. I did 2 videos every day. Every morning I would get up, record the workout of the day. I would do the workouts with like odd stuff, kitchen chair, ottoman, water bottles, soup cans. Like I would pick anything because I wanted to relate to them. The second post when I got on, I would do talk about wellness, mental wellness. You know, how are you doing? You know, are you getting up and making your bed? Are you drinking water? Are you self-talk affirmations? Like I did that for 2 months. And then I opened the doors back up, but we had to work out outside. So we moved equipment outside and we worked out for about a month in June. And then transitioned back into the building.
Okay. So a couple of things that you talked about there were you didn't have remote at the time, and that's something that you have now. And then, and having these conversations with about wellness, about personal care. I know you have some wellness services at the gym now. Did that exist then, or did both of these come kind of spring out of the COVID closure?
So I actually called it nutrition coaching prior to COVID. And I have a certification in nutrition coaching. But what I realized during COVID is it really isn't about nutrition. It's more about wellness. It's your whole body. It's everything. So I rebranded it during COVID because my perception is if you promote nutrition coaching, people are thinking you're just going to talk about food and people want you to tell them what to eat. I'm not telling people what to eat. It's everything. So it kind of was already in existence prior to COVID, but I rebranded it and just made it look a little bit different, picture, box, gift, you know, kind of than it did before.
Okay. And that's something that currently you have, it's an a la carte service and you have a coach who handles most of that for you. You're not the person who has to facilitate it.
Nope. So we actually, I created a Google text number and all of my clients know this, her and I both have access to it. So it's actually a client that came to me. She actually messaged me for 2 years on social media and kept asking me about the gym. And finally, I was like, either you join this gym or you don't join this gym. I don't know what else to tell you. Then she's 2 weeks into personal training and I have my clients track their food. And she says, I can't track my food. This is too hard. And I say, stop being a quitter. I knew I could say this to her. I said, if you can post on social media, you can log your food. And now she works for me. She's one of my best coaches, best clients. I mean, her transformation was tremendous, but I saw her people skills. I knew that she had the meat and potatoes behind it, lack of a better term for nutrition, that I could teach the other things. So people just need accountability with a loving heart and grace and communication and follow up. I had taken on so many clients, I couldn't handle it on my own. So I just brought her here in and she kind of shadowed me for a couple months on that Google text number. And then she now works for me.
Amazing. Amazing. And so I want to touch on how most of your staff are homegrown talent, but, the online, the remote coaching, did that start because of COVID? Did it start after you were back? And how have you built that out? Because it's a significant portion of your business now. It's and something that you're very hands-on with the execution of. So give us a story on that.
Yeah, so it happened during COVID. And then when I opened back up, I actually didn't do it for a couple of weeks. And then I had people asking, like, you know, because I'm like, well, I'm open, you can just come back in. You know, COVID's been really different. There's a lot of viewpoints, there's a lot of beliefs, and not, you know, everybody's the same. And some people didn't want to come back in, but they wanted that connection. They wanted that communication, if that's where I'm going with that. But so then when I brought it back, I actually just did an app and posted the workouts, but then I would have people message me and say, well, how do you do this? And how do you do that? Or I'd have people pay and not do it. So then I started recording the workout. So it solely started because of COVID. And so I could reach more people. And some of those remote people have actually transitioned into the gym as well. Yep.
Very cool. Okay. So back to the topic of your staff, most of your staff currently are people who have been clients. I call them former clients, but generally they stay working out and participate in the community too. So they started as clients and their staff. And that's something that comes up all the time. And most of our interviews are in the micro gym space. And people are always saying, I don't know where to get good talent. Where do I look? And there are websites and job boards, and you can go to your local college and university and things like that. But the first place I usually go or will ask is like, what about people that are under your nose? So how did you figure out that this was a good source of, you know, your best staff? How have you kind of put practices in place to keep taking advantage of that, the people who are already there and in your ecosystem?
So it's one of the things I've always built or believed in, especially in my corporate America background, is that there's certain skills you can't teach people, right? But if you have that, or that communication style where people listen to you and your communication's good and you connect with people, because some people just connect with people differently, right? So you can go to college, and I've had coaches in here that have higher certifications than I do, multiple certifications, and they're just not great at people skills. I think that's one thing that's hard to teach, right? So I had brought some coaches in that did not organically grow into the Patty Press and Fitness. And I always look at things that I don't like and why do I not like them? And if they're broken, how can I fix them? Working from the back forward. So I can teach someone, if they're willing to mentor underneath me for a while, the fitness piece of it, the functional fitness piece, the mobility, the stretching, the programming, you can teach those things. It's the people skills that are really hard. Plus, who better to sell your business than someone that you've already helped become successful? They're sharing your story. They're sharing that they love the gym. They're telling their people at Christmas at the kitchen table. They're telling their friends at work. They're having the conversations when people notice their outsides look different, you know, and then once they start talking, So they're basically, you've already invested in that person. Why not go ahead and do more? And I've had clients that that I thought were ready to coach, mentored under me for a while, and ended up not coaching. I had two before COVID, and then after COVID came back, they're still members, but they were like, I just don't love it. I just don't want to do it, but I still want to stay in the gym. And I'm like, no problem at all, dude. Like, you do what's best for you. I just want to help you, give you a piece of the pie.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And I think that's one of those things where if you keep everything to where it's like, hey, whether it's a coach or a client, I always like to steal other people's cliches, because a lot of smarter people than me out there, if you love people on the way out the same way you do on the way in, whether it be to a client who cancels, who you may do everything you can to help, and they go try something else, they might find their way back, they might not, they might tell people good things about you, but they're probably not going to be mad at you. If you see them at the grocery store, they're not going to throw a rotten tomato. The same thing can go for coaching. Like, you can get, you know, people get so hyped up on the idea, I really want to coach, I have these 3 hours a week, I can do it. And then if there's not open communication, and if you don't have a history of it, if they have a life change, something happens, they're like, oh, man, I really don't want to do this anymore, but, you know, I don't want to let, you know, Dom down, or let Patty down, or whatever. And then it's like, it can cause a little bit of animosity. But if people know, like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. All right, cool. Like, for help, when do you want to stop? Today, tomorrow, next week, let me know what I have to do. And then maybe they'll come back. Maybe they'll say, but you know what? You know, Judy or Bob was asking me about coaching. Maybe you want to go tap them on the shoulder. So I think how you handle those things can really come back to you, you know, exponentially, and also just probably make you feel better when you look yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, for sure. And coaching's hard, right? It's not about telling people how to squat properly or how to bench press or how to use a machine. It's peopling, and peopling's hard. You take on a lot, and sometimes it's exhausting, and it's very hard for that work-life balance sometimes. And it's a commitment to someone else. And it's like you said, it's you know, I have people, because I do post a lot on social media, my personal fitness as well as the gym. And I have people that live in other towns that say, I went to the gym today because of you. And I'm like, why didn't you sign up for my remote workouts? I mean, I can't say that, right? I won't be, you know, I want everybody to come to me. You can't, but it's planting those seeds. It's planting seeds to eventually, hopefully they'll bloom for me. And sometimes they don't, but that's okay.
For sure. For sure. All right. Two more big topics I want to hit. One is, you mentioned the amenities that you have in your facility. Now you have kids' playroom. You made sure to have good climate control, heat and AC. You have showers. When it came to build out, defining the facility that you were going to do, was it just over the evolution of the different places you had been that you were like, all right, when we do this, like, I'm not going to go to another space if I don't have all three of these things? Or, you know, did you happen to be able to, you know, there were two that were non-negotiable and you happen to get the third? How did that work out? Because they're all great things to have. Yeah. And I think everybody's listening and doesn't have it, it's going to be jealous, but how did that work out for you?
This is such a great story. I took up running like 9 years ago, and I would run this road where this building is. And I saw this building constantly. Actually, through my bank, they set me up with a women's networking business mentor. And I actually went and met with someone because I was renting buildings. I didn't own them. And they were like, you know, should I buy something? Should I not buy something? Whatever. So the gentleman that I went to was like, draw it out. Draw what you want. So I drew everything I want. Visual management, right? This is what I want. I think if it's into existence, it's going to come up. So the building that I wanted looked just like this building, but I thought by the time I buy land and I put this building up, I knew this was empty. It's a very small town. Everybody knows everybody, right? The building owner's wife came to me and had tremendous results. And I went to her and I said, you know, hey, I really want that building on East High Street. Would y'all sell it to me? No, my husband's not going to sell it. He doesn't want it to sell it, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, would you rent it to me? No. There was and I wish I have some before and after pictures, but it was nothing in here. It was actually like a fertilizer building before. It has bay doors, it's metal, you know, whatever, holes in the ceilings. Like, it was no air, no nothing. So this was like October, November. I went and met with him. I met with his son-in-law, and they, you know, they were going to use it, blah, 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 whatever. And so the building I was in leaked. It didn't have air and heat. I put in split units. It didn't keep up. I was spending $75 a week on propane 20-pound cylinders to run a shop heater. Was not very good. And so he called me New Year's Eve and said, hey, I'll meet you at the building tomorrow. And we got here, he went from telling me no to I'll do this, I'll do that. So I do not own this building, I rent it, but they went and all I did was ask. It took me 3 months of asking and asking and asking. They built the office, they built the playroom. He has grandchildren and daughters that came here. So it kind of was like an investment. It made his wife happy. And they invested a lot of money and time into this building. And all I did was ask. And I continue to ask respectfully, obviously, but there was other building options to buy, but it just wasn't the one I wanted. And so I just kept seeing it and I said, I want this building. And they have, it has been a blessing. I don't know where I'd be without them. I mean, it's just, they invested in Patty Press and Fitness, but they had been watching me for 3 years. So it was pretty cool.
That is a great story. A lot of times people say this is a great story, and there's
not
a
great story.
No, that's a great story. Okay, last thing that we're going to have time to cover on a broader base here is one of the things that you've done in the business is you used to be pretty heavily slanted towards one-on-one training, and instead of increasing your prices, I think you said it's been a couple of years since you've had a price increase. We can go into that or not if you want, but the main thing is you've shifted. You figured out, okay, we can give a high level of service to more people at once, so we can still get our revenue where we need it to be, but without raising prices on people. So I'm sure that's probably something that didn't just come all at once. There's multiple thought processes, a little bit of agonizing usually for us as gym owners whenever we want to charge anybody anything. So what's that process been for you?
Yeah. When you sell a service and not a tangible item, it's really hard to go up on your, it's hard to price anyways, right? And people, a lot of gym owners, and I did this too, and a lot of trainers undervalue their time. And we don't set that standard high enough. Unfortunately, I didn't either. And again, I'm in a community that nobody worked out here before I did. Nobody, maybe two or three of us were runners. So I personally don't enjoy coaching one-on-one. People don't push as hard. If they don't show up, it's just them and me. It's not a big deal. So I found when you get two people together, especially people, husband, wives, mom and sons, mom and daughters, best friends, I actually have a really cool group of older women that are widows that didn't know each other. There's four of them that we actually partnered them up together because they're on a fixed income and they couldn't afford personal training, but they're intimidated in the big classes. We started a personal training group just for those ladies. And now they go on vacation with each other once a year for a week. So what I did is I shortened my hour time to 45 minutes. I use the same stretches pretty much every beginning of the workout, and then their warm-ups. And then I get them into a routine. So we're more efficient with our time. We still have conversations, right? We're still talking, but it's very detailed on managing your time, managing those people in that window of time. And then them, instead of paying one huge amount for me, I'm making more money as a coach in a gym and they're spending less money and they like each other, that they're people they're working out with, and they show up more often.
Yeah, that's it's one of those interesting things. If you can get the dynamic right, there's a ton of leverage in it. I think probably the example that most people are most familiar with was the CrossFit model, how it evolved from, you know, one-on-one personal training to, hey, we're out of time, you're going to get a buddy, to, hey, people really like working out in groups. And if you can keep the quality high, you can leverage it. I think sometimes people will argue against different types of group fitness. For you, you limit your group personal training to 8 people, right? So it never gets to be 20, 30 people. It's not anything like that. It's not a big boot camp or a park workout. It's still structured training. But like you said, you keep a lot of things consistent. So in the beginning or the end of the workout, people don't, once they've learned it, they've got it handled. And your instructional period can be focused on, this is the work we're doing today. So you found some efficiency and some leverage by going this route.
Yeah. And I should have brought this up earlier. In my personal training groups, I offer them the home remote workout. So they're in here twice a week with me, and I'm already having people pay for this remote, right? So it doesn't cost me any more to let my other guys have access to it. So they can come in and use the gym other times outside of their personal training times, and or they can do the workouts at home that's already written and already out there. So I kind of, that kind of gives them a little bit more bang for their buck, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Anywhere that we can add value is always going to, it's going to keep people longer. I think you've said that, you know, you're, you know, 75% of your clients have been around for, you know, near that 5-year mark. Yep. So when you keep people longer, they're going to be happier. And you haven't taken the stance of there really isn't any other place. Like, where are you going to go? There aren't a lot of options. Like, you're still treating it as if there are 5 other gyms on your street and they could go anywhere. Because the reality is there's online programs now where people could just say, heck with you. I'm not going to do anything if they don't like you. So I don't think you want to see anybody go back to the couch. So you found that balance of keeping it accessible, but also not being something where, you know, you have to work 4 jobs to pay the rent for the gym so that you can just have a cool clubhouse.
Right. Yep. For sure. Yep.
All right. So as we start to wind down here, I like to talk a little bit about the future if we can. You know, we're mostly on the other side of COVID. Economy is looking so-so, but you've weathered one storm already. So I don't think you're going anywhere. So what are the long-term plans or vision for this? Do you think you'll ever go into another building? Do you think you'll ever have a gym in another town? Are there any specific goals that you still have left to accomplish in this?
Yeah. So as for me, my personal goals for this is I never want Patty Preston Fitness to go anywhere in this small town. I think I stated earlier that my daughters are older. They're 21 and 23. One of my coaches is my 23-year-old daughter. So she just started taking on her first personal training clients. She only first started working out in this gym a year ago. So I've been here 5 and I finally talked her into it, right? My dream is for Patty Preston Fitness to stay here, for her to take over a lot of this. And me still, I have a lot of people. It takes a lot of people to run this village. I have an admin, I have multiple coaches. My admin does all my social media. So it pretty much runs itself. I don't do a lot in Patty Preston Fitness anymore, which is amazing, right? I can leave and things are taken care of because people care about it as much as I do. I would eventually like to be on the water or at the beach. It's a dream of mine, but it's pulled at my heartstrings. My personal goal before opening this gym was to move there before I was 40. And I'm a year past that goal because I just can't leave this place yet. I'm just not ready for it, but I would love to go to another community that doesn't have a lot of, functional fitness, women's classes, my brand kind of, and build that up there. I love doing things that other people haven't done in places that haven't been done before. So I'd like that again. And as much as I love this and I love growing it, you know, once it gets to a point that it's kind of running itself, I get like, oh, what else am I going to do? Right. So I think starting another one in a different location would be really good for my soul to try to build up another one. And if I could get both running, that'd be great. I just don't want to get too big for my britches. You know, I've seen people have small businesses and they get so big that they can't manage it and they lose their core values. I just never want to leave. I want to work like I did 5 years ago, 30 years from now.
Amazing. All right. Last question. This is going to be an easy one before we have to wrap up here. For our listeners, if they want to check out what you're doing, if they're passing through between Virginia Beach and Richmond, if they want to see you, like, where are the places to go and find you? Social media websites, give us all that.
Yep. So we're pattypressonfitness.com is the website. Patty Preston Fitness is our Facebook and our Instagram. We don't have a TikTok yet. We need to. We've made some TikToks. We do not have our page yet, but I'll have to ask my teenage daughters to help me with that, or my 20-year-old daughters to help me with that. So eventually maybe TikTok, look us up. So, yep, that's the way to find us.
Yeah. TikTok is the wave of the future. So everybody who ignored Instagram and regretted it, if they're not, I don't think you have to be on it to be a business right now, but you have to have it in the peripheral. So Patty Preston Fitness, everywhere you go, check it out. Patty, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today. This has been a pleasure. I wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome. And to everyone out there listening, as always, we appreciate you. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. We hope you found value and inspiration in this episode. If you'd like to hear more, hit the subscribe button. We'll notify you when new episodes drop. To everyone out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard, Keep changing lives. Jim Ward's out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Mr. Rhett Riddell of R&R Health and Fitness, coming to you from Hillsboro, Texas. Rhett, what's going on, sir? How are you today?
Oh, well, I'm great. How are you guys?
I am doing tremendously. I appreciate you asking. Now, Rhett, obviously we're here to talk about R&R. That's going to be the crux of our conversation. And so for a little bit of context and some background for people who aren't familiar with the gym or the brand, give us your quick description of R&R. 30 seconds. What is this gym about?
Yeah, we're a 10,000 square foot facility in a rural town of Hillsboro, Texas, predominantly a farming town. We started our 22nd year, January 1st of 2022, the start of our 22nd year. We've been established in the same location. We're the largest fitness center in all of Hill County and maybe some of the surrounding counties. We're the only fitness center with private locker room, shower, sauna, and aerobics room, you know, all the selectorized equipment you possibly can have, plus 8,000 pounds of free weight, you know, 6 tanning beds, about everything that you could possibly want in a fitness center in a rural setting. I've had so many people say, this is in Hillsboro, and which I take by great compliment. So yeah, that's who and what we are.
All right. And so Rhett, take us back a little bit. Obviously this is not a new business. Take us back to when we were getting ready to open up the doors. What was going through your mind? What was the original goal with opening this when you did?
Well, this has always been my dream. It was always my dream. And I've been fortunate enough by God's grace to be able to have my dreams come true. When we decided to do this, my ex-wife now, she would happen to be in between jobs. And I said, you know, maybe this is a great time to actually start building the business plan. And she comes from her degree was in economics with a side in business. And she started building the business plan. As she started building the business plan, all of a sudden things started becoming available. Matter of fact, we acquired the building by a local realtor, and we scheduled an appointment to walk in. When we walked into the facility, which once was a furniture store, he was interviewing another couple out of Dallas, and he turned to us and he says, where do you guys live? And I said, well, we live right here, right outside of Hillsboro in Peoria. And he turned to the couple and he says, they have the building. So it was kind of you live local, you get the building. And prior to that, then all of a sudden we started finding equipment and we just, you know, we were fortunate that in good planning that we were able to open up with our own capital, did not have to go out for a loan. We already had a couple lines of credit, which I highly recommend to anyone when you're young, establish your credit. You know, there's nothing better than to be able to lean back on that. You don't actually have to go out and search for money. So we were able to open the doors January 1st of 2001 on our own equity.
Yeah. Handful of years later, just shy of two decades later, Rhett, what's been your favorite part about owning your own business? And as a follow-up, what's been the most challenging part about owning your own business?
Well, the favorite part, of course, hands down, has got to be working for yourself. You know, I'm self-driven, and I put, you know, when I do something, I put it at the highest priority, and I want to make sure that I offer the highest quality of service. So the most important part is working for yourself. I am kind of a people person. I don't mind speaking in front of people. I kind of am a bit of a ham, but if you're a former bodybuilder, or actually a bodybuilder at all, you got to have a little bit of stage presence. And so I just took that right from the stage to the business. And be honest with you, I call myself a professional bodybuilder because I make my living by doing what I love. Over the years, the hardest part, of course, is coming through by, you know, doing some smart things, paying things off, making sure you have the equity built in for when you go through rough times. We went through the recession of 08-09. Here we are in another recession with great equity. So the biggest challenge was, of course, to make sure that we keep our revenue flow continually coming in.
Yeah.
In doing so, we learned that diversity, honestly, you cannot just depend upon the person coming through the door to pay you a membership. You have to have other diversified income to be able to make it, and especially in today's business.
Sure. And so the gym as it stands as of now, what are some of those main revenue streams? Where are we pulling income from?
Well, of course, we have the reoccurring payment, which is the main thing that if any business could have something. If you have somebody that's paying it into you every single month, whether they use the gym or not, of course, we want to see our clients. But, you know, nevertheless, reoccurring payment is the smartest thing you can do with any kind of business. We still have the month-to-monthers, and we still have, but the other part is we have our contracts with our large organizations, the city, different corporations around town, the school district, et cetera. We have contracts with them. And then, of course, we then sell, I mentioned a product line, my own product line, which is Tri-Delta Pec Muscle Fraternity product line. And out of that, we have multiple, both men's and women's workout wear. We sell, we are a distributor for Nutrex. And so in Central Texas, we're actually the only distributor for Nutrex, the supplement line. We have tanning. Tanning is big for us. We have 6 tanning beds that only two of the only stand-up booths in all of Hill County. And so there's a big draw to tanning. We have the predominant market share in tanning. So that's pretty much most of our diversity. We just opened up the online store for Tri-Delta Pec. We're local, trying to go national, headed to global is what we're trying to do.
Love it. And so full-on growth mode is where we're at. As far as the gym, and at least the baseline of revenue being the EFT memberships, right?
Yeah.
Where do your membership numbers stand now as compared to 2019 or early 2020 pre-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic, yeah. I would have to say that we actually now have just surpassed 2019. People have come through COVID. They were tired of being locked up, tired of being inside. They wanted out. They wanted a good viable option. I am most impressed, I have to tell you, with the younger generation. Of course, through COVID, they probably lost grandma, grandpa, mom and dad. Unfortunately, in today's time, the pharmaceutical industry has got a hold on the average American's health. And so this younger generation coming in, our signups have been huge, from since, I guess, December of 21 to now. I mean, it's been kind of an explosion. And the only explanation that I have in looking at demographics is because COVID, people knew that the only control that they had over this pandemic was their own health. And that, I think, is what's driving people through the doors.
Yep.
I will say that we make sure that we offer a very customer-friendly, diversified approach to things. And be honest with you, in the small town atmosphere, still the single best marketing tool is word of mouth. Word of mouth.
Sure. And so we've been able to surpass 2019, at least as it stood then. Do you still have room for growth in the facility? Can we still add more people?
Absolutely. I will say in our heyday, which was pre-recession 2009, 2010, I doubt if I'm probably approaching those numbers, but then I also was a complete monopoly at that time. I was the only fitness center from 2001 to 2009 until the franchise Anytime Fitness tried to or opened up here.
Higher even than 2019 as far as membership. Is that right?
Yeah, when the economy was better and I was a monopoly, absolutely. I was able to employ, including my wife at the time, we were able to employ four or five people. We had a smoothie bar. We were the only smoothies in town. Now there's, you know, places, different juice bars and things like that opened up. But you mix that with the size of the facility. We had aerobic classes scheduled four times a week. My ex-wife was a massage therapist. We had the smoothie bar. We had supplements, personal training. It was the good old days, you know. That was the pinnacle of our evolution.
Interesting. Okay, and so at least what I'm hearing, plenty of room for growth. You mentioned word of mouth really being a catalyst for that, but with as much untapped potential as you have, has your attention turned to any other sort of marketing strategies? Do you anticipate supplementing that word of mouth with other things?
Oh yes, absolutely. I have found that local advertisement in any of the papers, the hard copy stuff, hasn't been effective.
Right.
Because
nobody reads the newspaper anymore, right?
Nobody reads the newspaper anymore. Honestly, you're right. And so we backed out of that. But understand the politics of a small town. Many times you go ahead and advertise with or for someone in the community, and that just shows that you're supplementing their income as they are supplementing your income.
More a goodwill thing than the actual advertising. I see.
There actually is something to be said for that in a small town atmosphere. Yeah. You don't get
playing
that in
chess.
You know, so we moved away from the hard copy kind of stuff. We are definitely involved Facebook. We have just now really started doing meta stuff through Facebook, the Instagram, getting more involved. Admittedly, I have to say, maybe it's our age, but we, kind of had to depend upon, matter of fact, my brother-in-law is a computer guru, and he's the one now through establishing this online store for the product line. At the same time, we're now really starting to get a lot more involved in the digital media type of advertising.
I think that makes sense. If I could just chime in, and I promise I'll let you continue here in a moment. I find that a lot of gym owners that were around in the 80s or 90s, or the heyday of fitness, if you will, have had trouble adapting, but like it's irresponsible to ignore social media as a weapon to bring new people in. Right, it's sort of this necessary evil, if you will, and we just need to take the time and the energy to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I knew that, like I said, the only saving grace was here I am in a rural community of 8,000. I don't quite hold 10% of the market share, but I'm pretty doggone close. So I had my buffer. But absolutely, in being a good businessman, you have to recognize that the market is ever changing, ever improving. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's probably going to help me more in the respect of my new product line or my product line I've had. I'm really trying to be pushed out to use the online digital marketing places. That's really, really where we have had to be pushed.
I think it all contributes though, right? When we talk about marketing, typically if somebody walks through your doors to sign up, it's not that they saw one Facebook ad, right?
Right.
They saw a t-shirt with your gym's logo on it. They saw the sign as they were driving by. They heard from their buddy that this gym was awesome. And then that one Facebook was the straw that broke the camel's back that inspired them to come in. But it was a combination of all of these different things. And so I think it's tremendously important that we keep that in mind when it comes to generating leads. Well, take it to the next step of the process too, Rhett. Obviously, I mean, leads are leads. That's wonderful, but we need that person to translate into a customer at some point. Yeah. So walk us through what a typical sales process looks like. Someone is interested in joining the gym or interested in a trainer or whatever they're interested in. What is that process typically like?
So we can be contacted, of course, by, you know, a landline, a cell phone, our email address, through our website, Facebook. We have all those opportunities. We do not have an online application process, but only because we're kind of trying to keep that a little more in-house. But we do, they can see everything. They can see all our pricing, all the products that we offer through our website. And then, of course, they can get all their answers through contacting us through Meta or Facebook or Instagram or any of the above. So we can do a lot of marketing that way. But be honest with you, most of the time, you're right, as they're driving by, I mean, because we are such a large facility and we're only one block off the courthouse square, and it is a major thoroughfare, our signage helps tremendously. So when they walk through the door, you know, then the thing that my generation probably is much more so than the younger generation of today is we still believe in the face-to-face contact.
Right.
You know,
Who handles that conversation when somebody comes in? Is it you? Do we have a sales staff or a front desk staff? Who's sort of taking the lead on that?
Well, it is always me. I set the standard. Okay. But my wife, she is now just as good, if not better, because she's the pretty face. She's the soft face. She's the one that the ladies will feel a little more comfortable with. You know, I'm just this big muscle head, you know, but I still, once they actually get to know me, then they see I have a soft demeanor. We have a young man that's in training right now. Matter of fact, we've had to go through the growing pains of trying to find that right employee right now, someone who was really, really wanting to work, that was self-motivated. And we are fortunate to always have, basically most of our employees have always been a son or daughter of one of our clients who love this place so much. And I've been fortunate with the employees. So I have a young man right now that he has surpassed our metrics for his first month. He is now starting to come out of his shell a little bit. He's having to learn from my wife and I how to approach that live customer, you know, to jump up and put a smile on your face and greet. Even if they've already members, we attempt to greet everybody on the way in and everybody on the way out. Yeah. And that's inclusion. That's inclusion.
Is this new hire that you were talking about, is this a personal trainer or is this a front desk staff? Is this somebody to help with kind of all of the above?
Yeah, he will not be yet trained for personal training for quite some time. Matter of fact, a little bit about his background. He is heir to the Tucker Hardware and Lumber throne. He is the oldest son. Matter of fact, his mom and dad met here. Oh, they didn't meet here. They had already known each other, but they worked out here. They got married. I remember when she was pregnant with him. I remember throwing the kid around the pool at the country club, et cetera, et cetera. So he was a natural fit. Failure is not an option with him. His grandfather said that he was either going to work out of the lumber yard in this 110 degree heat, or he was going to work for me. So he actually is a natural fit. He is going to eventually be trained on everything. Right now he is front desk. He's of course, we're all janitors, you know, keeping the place clean. We're adamant about a clean gym. I had a lady yesterday tell me, she said, this doesn't smell like a gym. And I said, well, that's due to my wife. She's not going to have us old muscle heads sweating around here. We're going to make it sure it smells good. So the presentation, but he's learning how to take care of the business. He's learning the business side. We're really getting him. He's an athlete. So we're really getting him into fitness training or weight training. And the next bastion for him at his 6 month review, the metric for him is to come out of his shell much more and be that big personable person that with the great big smile on her face. That's his next bastion.
Rhett, I want to pick your brain a little bit because you mentioned early on the idea of having multiple revenue streams. And for a model, a gym like this, personal training is usually one of those main sources of income. A, is that something you guys are looking to grow? And B, is that a conversation you guys have right at point of sale? Or is that a conversation you have with the leads later on?
It actually happens just a variety of places. I'm finding in today's society that many people who may not know much about the gym, and or may not have that drive. They want somebody standing over the top of them. The conversation comes early. Once they come in, they start asking about the gym. Now, we pride ourselves on that we make sure that they go through an orientation process of our equipment. Matter of fact, we part of your membership, when you sign up with us, is you have get a free workout and a free meal plan. Yeah.
Does that help convert some people into personal training then, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But what it does actually is we tell them, look, before you want to hire me one-on-one to stand over the top of you for an hour, first, implement this into your lifestyle. Let me give you the tools to make sure that you will come through the door every day and put this into your, and then when you're ready, then let's go ahead and hire me and I'll teach you so much more. My philosophy on personal training is I don't want you to be my client for the rest of your life. I want to teach you enough where that you can go where any gym and the rest throughout the rest of the world and be able to walk in and get a workout wherever you're at. Now that seems a little odd, but I actually, my let's say dance card is full right now. I literally at this moment, if somebody to walk in and want personal training, I'm going to hand them to two other people that I personally have trained in this gym. I'm going to have to hand them to them because my dance card is full. Okay. Yeah.
Are those so, also trainers at the gym or just other people that you are close with?
They are also trainers at the gym.
Okay. So we have availability, just not with you. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 There's definitely availability. I try to make sure that my client who signs up at the gym, if they want access to that service, they have access to that service. So I have both a female and a male trainer, both of which I have trained. That they've gone on to get other certifications. But I'll be honest with you, I have found that you can have all the greatest certifications in the world, but that doesn't make you a personal trainer. Makes you a personal trainer to me is when I see you with my client who just signed up in my gym, and I see you working with my client, at that point, then you'll have my approval or you'll have to go through the training process with me. And so you can walk in with all the certifications, but I need to see you working with my client. And that is why these two people are trained by me. And one is my premier bodybuilder who wasn't interested in, he's a former Marine. He wasn't interested in bodybuilding before. I said, you have potential. He and I have been training together for 5-6 years. The other is a young lady that she was local here, really popular. She would need to know about the gym. And I trained her to be a personal trainer too. So they're personally trained through the gym here. As a matter of fact, if I could hand them a certification, it would be Rhett Riddell's certification of personal training. Yeah.
The only one that matters right now.
One that matters, right.
And so that pretty well covers the business currently. Walk me through where you see this thing trending in the future. Do you think that you can get back to 2009 numbers? Do you think you can go beyond that? What does the future hold here?
You know, I will say in the current economy and depending upon the politics, et cetera, which we don't even want to get into. But I'm not really sure that any business is ever going to be back to the 2008, 2009 economy. However, the potential still is here. It's just that we, like you said, we got to get people to work. We got to get people working. To have the number of people sign up and the membership that I have in this current economy, oh yeah, there is plenty of room still for growth. I could get back up there, but the economy as a whole is going to have to change for me to be able to do that. Totally different.
Yeah.
Now, I've had opportunities to expand. I've had opportunity to buy other locations, to expand to other locations, et cetera, et cetera. But keeping in mind with my age, here I am 60, and in 4.5 or 5 years, I want to sell this asset, but I will not sell it to the average person that wants to come down and, you know, change it into something different. I already have 3 or 4 couples who have been grown up, raised right here in this gym, and they are interested in buying the gym from me when I'm ready to sell. I'm not ready to expand. I don't want to take, at this point in my life, I'm not ready to take on any more responsibility. I run a ranch at the same, a cattle ranch at the same time, along with this business, and I'm not ready to expand. But somebody, whoever buys this business, establishes it is, with the equity built into it, they could probably set up R&R Expresses in neighboring towns all around this county. And I thought about selling franchises, honestly, at one point. Yeah. I thought, right before COVID hit, I was considering starting to sell franchises.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of the time we gauge success on some of the things that you mentioned, right? How big is the facility? How many locations do we have? But that needs to be balanced with what do we actually want for our lives, right?
Yes.
Is the time and the energy and the financials invested into it worth the outcome? That's got to be answered by the individual. But for you, you see 4 or 5 more years exiting from there. I would say, Rhett, I think it goes without saying that not just fitness businesses, but businesses in general that make more money sell for more money as well. So I think you have a little bit of work left to do here in the next 4 or 5 years and still plenty of potential, but it's got to be good to see the finish line at least in sight, you know?
Yeah, you know, when I finally decide to sell this place, and then, like I said, I'm going to be pretty particular because I've made some pretty smart decisions in my lifetime where you can come in here and offer me $1 million for this place, but if I ask you what are you going to do with it and you decide that you want to do something, this is still my community. This is still the families that come in here. I've watched I'm now into the second generations of watching children grow up in this. I don't need... some sterilized marketer coming in here and wanting to buy this gym for, you know, 3 times what it's worth, because I don't need that money. Yeah. What I do want is I want to know that my clientele will still be treated exactly the same way in which I treated them for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Now,
you got to find the right person, right?
Yeah, and I actually have them. I mean, I have, like I said, there's already 3 people, three couples that are interested in purchasing this business. And honestly, a 25-year business, going through 2 different recessions, et cetera, it's going to be a no-brainer. Now, the whole reason for the pushing this Tri-Delta PEC line onto the, trying to get it globalized is exactly what you're talking about, is I want one more revenue stream when I decide to retire that I can sell for well more than what I put into.
Sure.
And that's in the next four years, Tri-Delta PEC is, I want it to be out there with some of the larger apparel company, so much so that if I were to dream big, then I would say I want to be bought out. I want to be bought out by somebody with it's a larger company, because we're competitors. Maybe Amazon, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? A conversation for another day, at least, Rhett. It's a really good place for us to start to wrap this thing up. But I can't thank you enough for your time. I think these types of conversations amongst the entrepreneur community become incredibly valuable to hear what others are doing and to know that we're not alone out there. And so I appreciate your time. I'm excited to see what the future holds for you, and I wish you nothing but the best, sir.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you. I too believe very much in what we do here and the fitness industry. And I love seeing, gyms come up and being successful. So if there's anything that come out of this conversation that somebody can use, I'm all about it.
Fantastic. Well, Rhett, we'll see you again down the road in some capacity. Wish you nothing but the best, and you take care. All right.
All right. Thank you.
And to everyone who tuned in today, thank you as well. Don't forget, if you would like to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model within the industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple: cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Brooke. Joining me on the show are Sarah and Paul from CrossFit Texas out of Sutton in Ashfield, Nottinghamshire, United Kingdom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I'm excited to have you guys and to talk about your CrossFit gym. Love having CrossFit guests here on the podcast. Gets me really excited. But really, before we dive into the business side of things, why did you guys decide to open up this gym?
You go, because you started. I came in at the 11th hour, so you go.
I started CrossFit straight out of the boxing, and I just loved all of it. And being in a Globo gym myself, I was like, you know, this atmosphere isn't what I like. And I think that it could be a better atmosphere local. There was nothing local. There was a CrossFit gym. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go for it. So I literally put everything in. I just went for it. Took my clients with me and opened it up, and it's grown to be a big community now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I opened it up with somebody else before. And then they went off and to start another career, and I was on my own. I'm not the most organized person. I can coach and I can program, but everything else was sort of getting on top, and Sarah kind of saved us.
So when did Sarah decide to come along and help you with the business side of things?
2019.
Yeah, it was kind of just before the pandemic. We had literally a good 6 to 12 months of kind of getting everything sorted. Business was looking really good, things, and then boom, COVID hit. So I've been here that 3 years, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So really, you built this, or you decided to, you know, come on board with this gym because you found that you were not really successful in the big Globo gym and you wanted something a little different. So you started, you know, at this CrossFit gym. And so now you're able to help other people who might not enjoy that atmosphere in a Globo gym. For our listeners here, give us kind of an elevator pitch of CrossFit Texas. Obviously, you know, we know you're a CrossFit gym, but everybody does things a little bit differently. So tell us, you know, what kind of product services that you provide at your facility. That way our listener kind of gets a feel for you.
Okay, I'm going to go in with all the cliche stuff. We are like the best community. Like people come, people come from other gyms or CrossFit boxes as well.
Yeah.
To us, be it visiting for the day or something, and I said, you've got the best community. And that is something that, you know, you just cannot buy. No. So, and that is the one thing. I mean, we have got a great facility here. It's awesome. A lot of people come and visit and say, you've got an amazing facility. And that's great, but you can buy that. You can buy a bigger space. You can buy the best equipment. We have just got the most awesome community of people.
Friendly, welcoming. We have people that come and drop in from afar, and when they're traveling by, they'll always drop
and to have people travel from nearby towns, because you know they've got a CrossFit gym nearby, but they would sooner do the 40-minute drive to us.
Yeah,
and that just speaks volumes, and that's the thing that we pride ourselves on the most, because that's the money can't buy element, and we love that.
I think that's why a lot of people join, you know, a gym like a CrossFit gym, is because they're looking for a place where they can kind of have a family with them while they're working out. They know what their goals are. They have people motivating them to show up every day. So at your facility, are you guys, you know, doing the typical kind of CrossFit classes, or like what, if I was somebody interested in joining, what could you offer me in terms of services?
So we have the traditional CrossFit class, the, you know, the functional training, the general physical fairness stuff. We've got the team class that we name Blitz. which is like a team CrossFit class. We have a strongman bodybuilding powerlifting mixed class that we call hybrid. And then we have a barbell club, so an Olympic weightlifting club, which is a kind of a thing in a lot of CrossFit gyms. We have one all day on a Thursday for people to come in and try that out. So we've got a mix of all for you to be able to come and do.
Yeah. Sounds like you have a little bit of everything. Let me ask you this. If I was somebody who was, you know, very beginner, had never tried CrossFit before, came in, told you, hey, you know, I'm looking to lose about 10 pounds. Is that a client that you would be excited and willing to work with?
Yeah, absolutely. We love people with goals. I mean, it always makes things easier because some people come in and just go, I just want to be fit. And it's like define fit.
Yeah.
If people's got a specific goal, you know, I've got a wedding I need to get to, and you know, I've got 8 weeks, help me.
That's easy.
Some that, you know, it's tangible, it's smart, we can, you know, it's good. That's something we can work with. I mean, we can do personal training, we've got an open gym space where people can come and do their own thing. Paul does private programming as well, so you can write like a 6-week program and this can help you jump on a ward. We've got an in-house nutritionist as well, who's awesome. And we've got Chris too, that's got is this body scanner, so you can get 3D body scans that's done in-house. We've got in-house physio and cryo chamber. So if you get broke, we can fix you. You know, disclaimer, we don't plan on breaking you, but you know, it happens. You know, people injure themselves picking up their shopping, don't they? So yeah, the facilities are great for that. But yeah, having someone with a goal definitely excites us, because you know, we love seeing people achieve goals, and they do. They always do. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I love that, you know, that you guys are really excited to work with people that have goals. I think a lot of times the idea of CrossFit can be something that's kind of intimidating for people. So how would you, you know, how do you describe it to people, like, so that they don't feel, I guess, that intimidation factor?
We get a lot of that. I mean, I would say more than half of the people that maybe messages on Facebook or set drops an email like, oh, I've seen it on TV. I don't know if it's for me. It looks really scary. I don't know where to start. And we're like, great, come on, come to us. We will look after you. We, you know, come for a taster session so you can see what we're about. We've got an awesome 2-day induction program. So if you've never even picked up a barbell before, we can guide you through the process. I mean, you will not go out of that 2-day course knowing everything there is to know about CrossFit. You know, I've been doing it for 4 years. There's still a lot of stuff I don't know about CrossFit. And the stuff I do know doesn't necessarily mean I can do it. You know, everyone is always learning. But it gives them a real solid foundation. You know, they can go away from that induction and be like, okay, I might not have the best power snatch technique, but I kind of know what I need to do. I know how to do it safely. And I know that I'm going to have great coaches on board that are going to guide me through the class and help me to kind of get better at that, which will then long-term help with my goals as well. So yeah, I think that once people have done that course, they kind of go away going, yeah, okay, I know the basics. I can get through the ward, and I know that there's going to be someone there to guide me throughout. So it gives people a lot more confidence then as well.
Definitely. I love that kind of approach to things. And so it sounds like you two are really motivated by helping people. Usually there's like a couple of different types of gym owners. One gym owner who's like super motivated by making money, and then another gym owner that's like really motivated by helping people. And then there's some people that are kind of in the middle. But from the conversation so far, it sounds like you guys are, you know, really motivated by helping your community.
Yeah, probably too much. Yeah, our heart and soul is more in this than, you know, we're more invested in it than it invests for us, that's for sure.
Yeah. So my next question for you guys would be, you know, right now, how many members do you guys have at the facility?
120 at the minute. 120 at the minute.
120 members. And is that a place where you both feel for the business really comfortable, or are you looking to hit the gas, help more people, grow the community of CrossFit Hexas?
For sure, yeah. I mean, we are quite heavily saturated by the Glovo gyms in the area, and I think that's always going to be the case. I think once people come in and see what we have to offer, you know, that's once they've got a foot in the door, you know, we do get a lot of keepers, don't we? So yeah, there's definitely room for growth. We do have a huge facility. We can accommodate more people in the classes, etc. You know, once it gets to a point where there's, you know, 20 plus people on a class, then, you know, we'll probably have to put the blockers on there. But at the moment, we're okay. You don't kind of
see people coming in fighting for space, or you know, they're not able to safely move. So there's definitely opportunity for growth, and as long as we're still able to provide that family feel, that community spirit, then yeah, we are looking for growth for sure, you know.
Yeah, and I think that that community type atmosphere, no matter if you have 350 members or 120, it's still going to be something that's a part of CrossFit Hexus, just because that you guys are so motivated by helping your community. I don't think that you're ever going to let that community atmosphere diminish. So, you know, when you look at your 120 members now and the idea of growth, the idea of helping more people, what are some of the things that you're doing to grow that community?
Looking after the members.
Yeah.
We don't advertise our kind of, you know, here, come and join CrossFit Hexus. You know, we concentrate in-house, make everybody happy here, and give them the best possible value for the money that they spend here. Because it is expensive for our local demographic, the membership, and a lot more expensive than a Globo gym.
Right.
Membership. So we try and give them as much value as we can, then they tell everybody, because it's so much more powerful coming from them. And like, I lost the amount of people that have lost sort of like 10, 20, 30 kilos of weight. Mm-hmm. And then they and their friends go, oh my God, you look amazing. Like, yeah, it's my local gym. I love it. I spend X amount of hours there, and that's powerful.
People might see us doing stuff on social media, but we don't actively recruit, I would say. We'll tell people if we've got an induction course coming on, but we're not one that posts five times a day. Come to us. Maybe that's what we should be doing, but for us, it's worth it. I mean, we don't want to take on 50 people a month and then struggle with any kind of retention.
Yeah.
Take on a handful of new people a month, really get them coached into the program, get them feeling part of the family, then that's a nice steady growth for us. We'd be happy with those kind of,
Yeah, I mean, from the conversation so far, it doesn't sound like retention would ever be an issue for you guys, because you're providing so much value to your members. There's so many things that you're offering to them where it's like, hey, you know, if this person doesn't see the value like in what you're offering, they're probably not a good fit anyway. And so I think that, like, even if you were to bring on, you know, a few more people per month, I don't think you're ever going to run into a retention issue. You guys have a decent staff, right? You have like 5 or 6 staff members, including you, or?
Only recently, literally a few months ago, it was 3 of us. It has grown a little bit more recently. We've had coaches that we host level 1 certificate here. So CrossFit will come and you know, coach new level 1 trainers. And the luxury of that is we've been able to have some of our existing members attend those courses, and off the back of that, 2 of those people now coach for us, only on a part-time basis. They've got full-time jobs, but they just love it. They love coaching. And then a friend of ours as well, who's relocating, you know, she was keen to get onto the coaching squad as well. So we're like, come on, the more the merrier type of thing. So there's 5 coaches now. I don't strictly coach. I'm more back office, you know, the front of house, you know.
The plate spinner.
Yeah, I'm literally holding up the bell.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's important that you definitely have somebody that's kind of more focused on the back end. But it sounds like you have a pretty decent staff, even though some people are part-time there, to really provide that amazing experience to your clients, your new clients. So, you know, in the idea of word of mouth, the idea of referrals, I love that method of growth because it's free. We don't have to spend any money to grow through word of mouth. We just have to be incredibly kind to our members and provide them the ultimate experience. And they're naturally going to go, they're going to tell their friends. And their friends already come in with that trust built up. So we don't have to worry about like trying to build that trust in that client. And that's like the ideal kind of growth. But with that, it's not really predictable. We can't say, hey, this month we're going to predict that we are going to hit 7 new clients through word of mouth. Like, it's just not predictable. We might have hey, this month we welcomed 7, and then next month we might welcome 2. And it's like, there's so much ebbs and flows to that. And for business, like when we look at, you know, the growth of our business and numbers and all of those things, it's not the best thing. So a lot of people are supplementing with social media. You guys said that you have a pretty decent organic social media presence right now. Are you bringing leads at all through your social media? Like, are you reaching new clients through your current efforts, or is it kind of like previous clients and friends of clients and things like that?
It's more friend spread, isn't it? Yeah, the when you look at the reach, but people that react to our stuff is mainly people that are already in our audience. Yeah. So we're not actively like growing that too much. You know, we've not been, you know, increasing our follower base or anything like that. So it is more just people that might have been, shall we say, lurking for a bit, kind of just watching what we're doing for a bit. They might be a friend of a friend, or they've seen us do something locally. But yeah, we've not got a massive reach, have we?
No.
Yeah. And I think that when we think about social media, it's a great way for us to reach those people that are living in our town, in our community, who probably have been super intimidated by the idea of group fitness or CrossFit. And they never even thought to Google it or walk into the gym because they're scared. So if we can like put something out on social media to reach those clients, and show them like, hey, you know, we're really nice people. We're not intimidating at all. CrossFit's really fun. Come join us. It's the best way for us to reach more people. So are you guys completely opposed to the idea of utilizing social media a little bit more to grow the business?
Not at all. It's more a time thing. You know, like I say, it's predominantly been Paul and I for the last 2 years before the team grew.
Yeah.
And it has been surviving the pandemic, keeping control of costs, because obviously we lost a lot of, well, we didn't lose a lot actually. That's unfair. We did have some loss of income over the pandemic. Again, thanks to the amazing community we have, we were able to stay open. You know, some gyms and certainly other small businesses weren't as fortunate as us. So we were able to still keep paying the bills, but there was some, you know, regrowth required. And it's just been, you know, what is the priority? And, you know, whilst we were closed, we had a bit of a refit. We kind of wanted to freshen it up for our existing members. We did buy some new equipment, you know, not that they thanked us for it when all the new assault bikes turned up. So it's just something that kind of sits there that we know we should do more of it. We know we should.
Right.
We know we should be pushing that a bit more.
We're more concentrate on like I said, what we give the members.
Yeah.
Like when we're in coaching and stuff, the last thing that we do is pull our phone out and take a video, because we kind of like coaching around and then somebody will be talking to Sarah, can you come and have a look at this? And like, have you got those t-shirts? And like, you know, and we're walking around, and before you know it, the class is done. We're turning the lights off. Like, didn't take any videos for social media.
So is the main reason why you guys haven't done it yet, is it time or is it money? Or would you say it's kind of a combination?
I would say a combination.
Combination.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard. The first reason, you know, financially, like, it's hard to think about spending money on something if we don't know for certain it's going to benefit us. And so I think that's where a lot of us like get really, really scared in this industry, but we can't be scared like to make money. We can't be scared, but all of us are. And time-wise, like there's only 24 hours in a day, and people don't realize that being a gym owner is really, really hectic. So super fast. And so I think it's just a matter of if we, you know, figure out a way to make this a part of our day-to-day, because we understand that it's something that will help us go to that next level, is the best kind of like mind switch that we can make for ourselves. But kind of want to move on from this piece here and ask you guys a few more questions while we have some time. And the next question that I have for you guys is, you know, when you look at the business, what's one of the biggest challenges for you guys right now? And what are you doing to kind of combat that and overcome it?
Yeah, the biggest challenge at the moment for us is the local climate. What's going off at the moment? Rising fuel costs and cost of living and everything that's increasing, and people struggle to see the value in a gym membership because it's seen as a luxury. They can't see the negative impact that not exercising would have. And during the pandemic, when we're all locked down, we try to work out at home, and it's just not we couldn't do it. It's so important to people, but it's hard when you're seeing your bills increase and you can save yourself, you know, 60 quid a month right there. But that seems to be the biggest problem for us at the moment is uncertainty for people and people not wanting to, spend a little bit extra.
For sure. I mean, with global gyms popping up everywhere, and like, don't get me wrong, that is an effective form of fitness for some people, but not everybody. And with these gyms popping around and they advertise like, hey, you know, $20 per month memberships, like for so many people, they're money, like we're motivated by money, right? And so like cheap membership, we're going to go there. We're not even going to think twice about it. And then like after a while we get frustrated because we're not reaching our goals there. And that's when we look into other things. And so what are some of the things that you guys have done so far to make yourself stand out amongst those global $20 a month gyms?
Again, I think it's just making, when we do get people in, we tend to keep them.
Yeah.
So we do have a lot of people that have been here for a long time. And I think it's a service element. We are in a service industry, despite what, you know, people might think. It's not just let people come in, use the equipment and off they go. We are here to service people, to look after them, to make sure, you know, that people that come in that have had like the worst day at work, you know, they feel really bad, they've eaten a load of rubbish and they're like, I don't even know why I'm here. And, you know, for them to then turn around full circle after an hour and go, oh, I'm so glad I came, you know, this is what I needed.
Yeah.
That's what we love that, you know, the fact that we can just make people feel happier that day. And, you know, that does a lot for us, isn't it? So,
That is how we stand out.
Yeah.
And they have to go there. The amount of times that people go to a Globo gym, and when I worked in one, they go in, exercise, leave.
And if they get that far, you kind of go in and go, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, for and most of us,
go, you know.
Yeah.
Or pay 30, 40 quid an hour for a personal trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
they've got their friends, they've got community, they've got people to, you know, great coaches, great people to just make them feel like, you know, it's worth it. It's worth coming today.
1 hour a day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so it's just a matter of like, hey, once we get these people in the door, we can show them the value. Like it's a no-brainer. Definitely. They're going to see like that we're much different than this gym and it's worth the extra, you know, that you're paying every month. To come visit us. And so big kind of like loaded question here. And that is, if I could hand you guys a magic wand and I said, all right, Sarah, Paul, all your dreams for CrossFit Hexus have come true. You've reached all your goals. What would that big picture look like for you guys?
Oh,
what do you think?
Oh,
gosh. I know
you're keen on another unit, and I'm like, no, let's get this one right. Paul would have, like, franchises, I'm sure. He'd have six of these. It would be difficult to replicate this, though, I think. You know, this is so unique. This is something so, so special. But, you know, just to be able to, you know, if the bills were paid.
In an ideal world, I'd give everybody what we can do.
Exactly. We don't want to have massive high price tag driving around in flashy cars. That's not us. We want people to kind of go away happy, and you know, we'll keep the price reasonable so that people can, you know, get our bills are paid, the equipment is as good as what we need. Again, we haven't got the flashiest equipment. We see some of the competitive gyms and we're like, yeah, they've got all the latest Rogue stuff, you know. They can keep all that fancy new equipment.
Yeah. I think that like that's where a lot of people go wrong is like they think about, oh, like if we buy this new equipment, the people are gonna flow in. And that's not how this works. Like I think the best gyms are the ones with the old dusty equipment. amazing community. I went to a gym here and I'm visiting Tampa, and I went to a gym, you know, this weekend, and it was super dusty and old in there, but the community was so great. Like I was a new person walking in and almost everybody there like said hi, struck up a conversation with me, asked me like what I was training for. And like, that's the best feeling ever is like when you're a part of that community. And so I think that's what sells, right?
Yeah.
So you guys want to continue to grow that and build this ultimate, you know, community. When you look at, you know, 120 members is where you're at right now. If you could have the community at a certain spot, like what would that look like in terms of numbers for you guys? Like how many members would you love to have to fill the space?
I think we could accommodate double. Like I do think we could. I mean, it would need to be like a slow progression, but we do have a huge, huge space. We do, you know, square footage wise. We see some gyms that fit 20 people in half the size. So yeah, there's no reason why we couldn't have, you know, six classes a day with 25 people in. But we have got the space for that. Yeah, so
it wouldn't even be full.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, and it, a lot of it, we see some classes that have some gyms that, like Sarah's, that are small, that have 18 people in a class.
Yeah.
And we have 16 maximum. And our guys are like, oh gosh, it's tight in here. We're like, it's not.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, especially with you guys, you know, offering open gym, that being a big part of what you do, like realistically, you can continue to grow the community and you'll know when it's like, hey, you know, we like literally can't take on any more members. And a lot of times I think we underestimate ourselves too, because if we have 340 members or whatever it might be, like not all 340 people are coming every
day. They're not all the whole of Friday, are they?
Yeah.
I think once the classes start getting to a point where they're like, full, we could probably, at the minute we're capped at 16 per class, and some classes do get super full, and then we do get wait lists sometimes. We could eke it out a bit more and kind of get people used to using a little bit less space, but we, and if it started to feel cramped, then I think we would like draw the line, but we're not there yet. We're not, so I think we still have got plenty of room for growth yet, for sure.
Well, I'm super excited for you guys, like, to see how you're able to continue to grow this CrossFit community over where you're at, and I'm excited to follow along for the journey. What's the Instagram handle or the Facebook page? Where can our listeners go to see you guys online?
We are CrossFit Hexes. That's what it says on the tin.
Easy enough. Thank you guys both for being here today. I really appreciate your insight. Listeners, thank you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, if you want to stay notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. And if you want to join us for an episode here at the Gym Lords Podcast, fill out the link in the description and we'll be in touch with you soon. As always, until next time, Gym Lords out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.